Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have with us again today on the program, he's been here all week, Steve Norman. Steve is the director of Forge, an outreach to high school boys and junior high boys here in the Ann Arbor area. He's on our team at Renewal Ministries, as his lovely wife, Katie. And Steve's been sharing with us really his personal story, which I've been trying to do if you've been listening to the program over the last few weeks, just having people testify to the reality of the living God, how God has touched their lives and what it's meant and how they've been transformed. Because as I mentioned on Monday, I think it was Monday, St. John Paul II, a line that he spoke back in 1998 that has stuck with me. So, you know, the Christian lives with the conviction that Jesus Christ is risen, he's alive, he's acting in the present, and he's changing lives. As part of the normal Christian life, to know that, to believe that, to walk in it. And Steve's story is a story of probably his mother or others who knew him said, that guy's never going to, you know, crazy young man. He was an atheist. He was proud and he was going to do his own thing. And slowly the love of the Father. And, you know, the very thing that every human being, without even knowing it, he was experiencing, we all have the same thing. We're made to know God. We'll never be satisfied with anything other than the love of God the Father. I mean, a lot of things can keep us going and distracted in this world, counterfeits, but in terms of really bringing that foundation, bringing security, identity, healing, peace, it comes from knowing God. That's it. Period. So Steve, welcome back.
Hey, well, thanks again for having me back. You know, as you were just saying that, this particular high school girl came to mind because, you know, as I was a high school campus minister after my conversion and missionary year, a lot of my beginning of my jobs, people didn't know me. I would move to the school that I didn't grow up in the area. It was a smaller 1,000 students, but it was all these farmers, these small communities poured into this one high school. And so I would just go around to the classrooms and introduce myself and share a bit of my testimony. And to what you were just saying of this, I was searching for something when I was an atheist and I didn't realize it. I was searching for it as an agnostic in Europe. And then when it encountered me, when he, this living reality encountered me, it's like this deep ache, this deep scratch, this itch I had was finally kind of scratched and filled and overflowing. I was just kind of share that story. So simply what the Lord had done in my life. Nothing because I was smart or because I was great, or it was just simply because he loved me and he wanted to fill me. And I just happened to be open for different reasons at that moment in my life that he and continues to fill me. So I would share this just as a way to introduce myself and what I'm about. And I remember this one particular girl coming to my office almost already in tears after that class. And she's like, I have that ache. I have that desire. I want that. Mm-hmm. And she was very aware. And, you know, I was at that school for about 6 years and in high school campus ministry for almost 7 years in Canada before moving down to with Renewal. And encountering kids, yes, some kids are at different, a lot of kids are at different points of their faith and their upbringings, but every single kid has that desire. Every human has that. But these high school, like these are kids, you know, 13 to 17 year old kids. And depending a lot of times on their home life and their experience of faith and religion, their relationships with their moms and dads, they are more or less in tune with that ache and they're trying to fill it in a lot of different ways. And so it was a very humbled, very grateful, very blessed to be in a position where my job was not to judge them, but it was help them to be more in tune with that and say, yeah, God actually gave you that and desires to be the source of your fulfillment for that.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's so much needed. And as you were talking, I was thinking of a study that was done, sociological study a number of years ago, that was really powerful. And the focus of it was the research done was focusing on the role and the impact of parents in particular on kids. Mm-hmm. They said the parents are the first pastors was kind of the theme of the study, that what it had produced and the impact that parents can have. And people who are listening, if you're like, yeah, I'd love my kids to be more engaged in the faith, but it's really hard. I don't know how to communicate it. And they seem distant. I'm concerned. I'm anxious about it, which is very understandable for people. But one of the things they said, people feel like, I don't know what to do exactly to help that change. But what this study showed, and it really, really touched me, it said the three main things they said that this longitudinal study that took place over something like 12 years following 3,000 kids from age 13 to 17, a whole group of them, but they followed them over this period of time. And they basically asked the question, where did they start? Each of the families were in like a Christian home in some way. How many have made the arc through junior high school, college, career, marriage, where they actually then engaged the faith themselves in their own home, right, where they were alive and was animated. And there was a percentage of them. And the top quadrant in this study, I don't want it just to be theoretical, but this is amazing to me. They said they shared, 80% of those people shared three things in common. Mm. Quite simple. Number one, mom and dad were genuinely living the faith. I mean, it was like Sunday mattered. Non-negotiable kind of thing, but it was in their heart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? This is what they wanted. So it was a living thing. Number two, those families all did some kind of like missionary work and service outside their regular organizational stuff in the church, like doing soup kitchens or whatever. It just happened to be part of the rhythm of their families. But the third thing they said, it was by far the most important, was age-specific conversations in the home that happened spontaneously about the person of Jesus. Any questions could be asked at any time, anything challenged at any time, but the sense that we're actually living with a person, Jesus is here, instead of we're living a religion and you need to get there and you need to get to class, you need to do the religious things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I mean, all that stuff's important, but it never really comes alive until you encounter a living God.
Right? Yeah. And it's not going to, like, I can only, you know, my son is only, he'll be 7 this summer. Yeah. My daughter, 4. They're still littles. But I can only imagine if, you know, again, working with high schoolers, they have their free will. I want them to choose a relationship with the Lord for themselves. I don't want them to do it just because they don't want to let me or their mom down. I mean, that just seems like so simple and obvious, but so brilliant too, that like, then I should be bringing him and giving him room within our home, not just at the dinner table before the meal, but just in every conversation when we're doing anything. And I like that outward mission orientation as well, that Jesus, yes, is in our home, but he's also out there, and Jesus longs to be out there just as much as with other people who don't believe in him, as much as he wants to be with us in this home who do believe in him.
Yeah.
And so it's almost, I mean, the kids' intuitions, right? Like they're aware of their imaginations and they just get it. The childlike faith.
Yeah.
Right. So it's oftentimes we who complicate it, or we have to give these very highfalutin theological arguments for God and his existence versus, no, just love him, want him to be in your own personal life, want him to be in your family life, and the kids will see that, the kids will believe that. So
yeah, and these simple acts of service, like this is what our family does, you know, it's like they're part of the study was, it wasn't like the families made a big deal out of it in the sense, they just said, this is what we do, this is what Christians do.
Right.
And we give our time, we give our talent, we serve.
Right.
And so every generation, there's always these studies being done on what's wrong with the teenagers, what's wrong with the young people, what's holding them back, or what do they like? And so, you know, the church is kind of in one of those moments again, what young people really get moved by is like doing something that matters, doing something for the poor, doing something for this and that. And of course that matters.
Right.
And when you do it in the context of faith in the Lord is to say, it's a normal part of the Christian life to do impactful things like that. Because give yourself away.
Right.
It's engaging. It's meaningful. It's touching real problems. And it's loving other people.
Right.
But a lot of times young people are raised by just go to the Catholic school, get your homework done, behave, go to church on Sunday. And all those things all matter.
Right.
But it doesn't become an integrated thing where we're gathering around a person, a living person of Jesus who we love, we know is real in love. And we're giving it away.
Right.
You know, we're not just telling people what to do.
Right.
We're actually loving our neighbor.
Yeah. It's not just the Catholic Church. Yeah. It's not just a club. It's not like the best Christian club. It's not just a thing that you belong to or a community. Like, you know, I'm part of the CrossFit community, the dog walking community, my Christian community. This is just another thing. No, this is a way of life.
Yeah.
It's a way of being. And it's a way of life that is seeking, to your point, to like give ourselves away. Why? Because we have a Lord, a living God who gave himself away for our sake and gave us through him. We become, you're talking about justification or righteous, but the ongoing process of cooperating with his grace where like he can dwell more as I dwell less. It's no longer I who live, but he who lives. Like that's a real thing. And again, I think kids perceive if mom or dad are just at least trying, you don't have to do it perfectly. It's not possible without God's grace, but at least trying to live this genuine way. Kids will see that.
It's very easy to fall into the trap where Catholicism or Christianity is like a moral system.
Right.
And moral striving is kind of what it's all about rather than just say no. Like Paul uses all these really amazing phrases like we were dead and he made us alive. What's Christianity? Christianity's new life.
Yeah.
What's the new life? The new life is literally the indwelling of a loving God. You know, right. We're temples of the living God, and God sent forth his son to love us, to save us. And everybody needs saving. Everybody really truly does.
Right.
And we see it through the journey you were on, right. You know, this week. You're talking about all the ways you were experimenting and feeling like you were totally in control. Like,
right.
I'm my own master. Here's what I'm doing. Yeah, I ended up in jail two nights the last yeah, month yeah. or whatever.
It's not going so well.
Two fights and all the rest of this stuff. Yeah. But I was doing my own thing. You know what I mean? And I'm happy because I'm in control of my life and you, by God's mercy.
Yeah, I was feeling lost and I didn't want to admit that. I wanted to pretend like I had it all figured out. Now I recognize I am lost, Lord. I need you. I've been found in him, but I need more of your grace. I need to continue to convert, continue to live this way more by your grace, more and more.
Yeah. Also, Steve, one of the things about that study I was just mentioning that I found it so encouraging because all three of those things, though they're not easy, they're simple.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They're simple.
Right.
And I think a lot of parents are intimidated. Like, I don't know what to say about the faith. I don't know how to communicate the faith, or I don't really know what to do.
Right.
And it's not, I once asked my dad after my family went through major conversion. My dad got sober. I've shared this on the radio a few times over the years, but major transformation happened over a series of years in my family. And I remember having a conversation with my dad after. I said, "Dad, how come we never talked about Jesus? You know, how come we never, I mean, he made sure we went to church every Sunday, that kind of thing. But why didn't we have like conversations?" And he said, "Well, you know," and he was old school. He said, "Well, that's what we paid the nuns to do."
Yeah,
you know, he said in the big Catholic school, it was a block from my house that they built and they invested a lot because it meant something to them, you know? So I'm not criticizing them, but the idea that a father or mother would speak personally about a living relationship with a God who loved them and just integrated it into a normal part of life was just not something that was Catholic. It was not a thing
For
most people.
It was kind of over there in the church or over there in the schoolhouse.
The professionals would teach you this and that, and it's all over my head, you know what I mean? My job is to get you to church and get you to school.
Yeah, I think the humility to, like, I don't need to have all the theological answers, but I do have this real authentic relationship with the Lord. You know, as you were saying, I was thinking of, I met somebody, you know, playing some sport, and I joined a sport team, and I'm getting to know a guy over the year, and not once do I mention my wife or my kids to him. That would be weird if it just, but it'll naturally, married, I have kids, I talk about, as we get to know each other as friends, so my son, my daughter, my wife's into it. Just, why? Because they're part of my life, and I'm sharing my life with somebody, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't have to go and understand and like express the definition of marriage and fatherhood and motherhood. So I'm just talking about my wife and kids. And so to your point, I think it's like, I have a relationship with Jesus. It's not perfect. I want to grow in it. I need to grow in it. I need to understand it more. I want to love him more. But this is Jesus. This is who he is in my life, my Lord, my God. And this comes out naturally, hopefully.
Yeah, it's so good, Steve. You know, friends, the heart of Christianity is new life, as I'm saying, but it's new life with a person, God, who is life himself, who made you, who loves us, who loves each and every one of us, wants to have a living, vital relationship with us that changes us over time. And he wants to give us the goods that he possesses, and that comes through relationship and being able to say yes to him. And he loves every one of us, brothers and sisters, and you can lean into that. Steve's going to be with us for one more day tomorrow.
Great.
God bless you, friends. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.